Squire. Thank you. We're getting started on the right foot here. Good morning, Covenant.
Good morning.
Hey, that was pretty good. I won't make you do it again, but stay awake. All right? Welcome to our service here at Covenant. My name is Alex Sergio. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the Minister of Congregational Life here. And today, folks, we've got a special service. I'm very excited for this service because we've got a guest preacher with us here today that if you don't know her, the rock you must be living under, it's got to be pretty nice. Or maybe you're new here. But Grace is, one, first of all, Grace, you want to stand up just real quick. This is Grace. Give her a hand. Woo! She's one of Covenant's very own. She worshiped here for a really long time. She was a deacon here at one point. She is a senior over at Heritage High. She is on the planning team for Triennium, which is like the huge, massive 3-year youth conference that happens here. She is a stage manager and president, stage manager for the theater department and president of in theater, awesome, okay. So, tons of wild, incredible titles. She is here to prove that height has no hindrance on talent, but we are excited to have her here with us. So Grace, thank you for being here. Now, while I'm talking, at the end of your rows, there are little black books here. If you would fill some of that information out, that'd be very helpful. On the back of our bulletin, we've got a few stuff going on here at Covenant that I'll go through really quick. One, what you should know about today is Reflections. Today is Reflections Day. We're having a great time with Reflections. Each week, you hear a sermon, you hear a verse, and somewhere between the altar and the door, that verse and that sermon go flying out of our minds. We want a time where we can sit and reflect on how God's word has impacted us, how does it challenge us throughout the week, and an opportunity for each of us to connect with one another. So, if you'd like to, for about 30 minutes after service, around 11:15, we're going to be in the fellowship hall and do some reflections together. I am offering an adult education class with Cameron Porter from Grace. We are talking about the Civil War as a theology crisis. The Civil War was a wildly divided time in our country, some might say, and it changed the way that you and I read the Bible today. So we're going to talk about what happened, how they looked at the Bible back in the day, abolitionists and pro-slavery Christians, and we'll talk about how it influences us today. The class is going to start at 6:30. We'll do about an hour of talking and then 30-minute discussion. And this class will be recorded because we've got a lot of comments about not being able to attend but want to see it after. So it will be recorded. And also there is, there's a memorial service happening today at 2 p.m. for a good friend, Ken Peterson, that the Tyler family knew really well. If you want to come and support them, that memorial service is happening at 2 p.m. today. And we have an annual congregational meeting and pancake brunch. Get pumped for pancakes. I am. And that will be happening next Sunday, March 2nd, and we'll be meeting then. That's a lot of me talking, folks. Let's get here for the reason that we are here for. If you want to look towards the screen, the lyrics will be up there, but we'll start with hymn number 452, Open the Eyes of My Heart.
I want to see you.
Well, friends, I didn't live a perfect week this week. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say maybe you didn't as well. Maybe we can join each other in our imperfection. And every Sunday, we have a time of confession. So, all the imperfect people, would you join me in this confession? Holy One, we confess that we struggle to love those we find difficult.
Forgive us for the barriers we build and the judgments we commit.
Teach us to see the sacred in every person, even those we call other.
Renew us through your grace that we may live with compassion and love.
Let us take a moment of silence to reflect on where we have withheld love. Take about 20 seconds. In God's infinite love, we are forgiven and made new.
Thanks be to God for grace that knows no bounds.
Awesome. Well, we unfortunately don't have a kids' class today. We're going to keep our kids' time pretty simple. But for Rich and Brenna, we do have snacks. So as we pass the peace after this, if you would like some snacks, I'd love to get you some. For the rest of us, let's all do together our children's blessing. This is a blessing that we do every week. And it goes like this, if I could see your thumbs. Pretty good. Nice thumbs, everyone. We point at ourselves and we go, God includes me. You find someone in the audience and you go, God includes you. And then we point up and we go, God includes all of us. Nice. Now you know it. And I'm sure you love it. So let's all say it together. It goes like this. God includes me.
God includes you.
God includes all of us. Awesome. Now it's time to pass the peace of Christ with one another. Exotic or comfort food, which do you lean towards?
Good morning, Bob. Peace be with you.
Hey,
peace be with you.
Great to see you.
Peace be with you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
How many years has it been?
I've seen four.
Four to four? Yeah.
I know. It feels longer than that. Maybe it has.
Well, I haven't aged at all.
No.
And you've grown up. You go to Heritage.
Yes. Yeah. It's a graceful life.
Yeah, my kid went
to Lane and went as we try to stay in it.
Oh.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Good morning, sir. I love the tie.
Hi, good morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
Please remain standing and sing along with us for praise today.
Thank you. Pastors. My grandfather actually was an interim pastor here at one point. And my mom and my grandmother continue to do administrative work for the Presbytery of Denver. Today, through their calls and connections, I was called to join you here at this service. In this passage from Luke, crowds had started to surround Jesus, so he got into Simon's boat to teach. Jesus then asked Simon to cast his net. Yet Simon doubts that he will catch any more fish, and when Jesus asks him to catch the net, he does so. And to his astonishment, he catches so many fish that his net begins to burst. Then Jesus charges him and the other disciples to be fishers of people, and they drop everything to follow him. When have you put your trust in God blindly? When have you answered God's call? It must have been around 7 years ago when I went to a retreat at Highlands, which is a Presbyterian camp near Estes Park. I was staying in a cabin with several other children my age, and I remember one of the girls had diabetes. One night before I fell asleep, I prayed that the girl would remain healthy, and I woke up in the middle of the night to her sensor giving off an odd beeping noise. I woke up my counselor, and it turns out she was low on blood sugar, and she was taken to the nurse's cabin. I trusted God to take care of my friend, and then when called by God to help others, I took action. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 states, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" We are called by God, and it is our job to accept that call. How has Jesus called you? The Creator has meticulously helped guide your life so you respond to God's call. How impossibly beautiful is that? Because of my parents' and grandparents' connections to the presbytery, my life has been largely influenced by church and the culture that comes with it. Actually, when I was in elementary school and we couldn't make it to church because of the weather, I would flip through my Bible till I found a passage that interested me and write a sermon on it. My sister and I would rip pages out of our notebooks to copy out our bulletin for each member of our family. And I would play contemporary songs on the piano and serve cranberry juice and sourdough slices as communion. But beyond just worship services, there are a ton of committees that happen behind the scenes to make Presbyterian worship services and resources possible. There are huge meetings called assemblies where people bring items to attention and vote on these items. I am largely simplifying, but my point is there are a lot of people who are called to work together to make sitting in this building with these people possible. There's a branch of the Presbyterian Church USA that works to advocate for topics as the biggest meeting, the General Assembly, sees fit. This branch is called the Office of Public Witness. They're stationed in Washington, D.C., right across the street from the Capitol building. They share opinions based on what Presbyterians have voted on to Congress members, members of the executive branch of government, and the media. I had the privilege this summer of interning there for just about a week. I've never felt more called in my life. I got to advocate for people on behalf of my religion. I got to serve others using God as my foundation. Best of all, I got to meet others who are called to do the same thing. I participated in a press conference on the Capitol grounds for Nuns on the Bus, an organization of nuns that travel the country on a bus, holding rallies encouraging people to vote. I stood in front of a camera behind several speakers, which included religious leaders, congresspeople from both sides of the aisle, and other advocates for social justice. I also got to talk to Congresswoman Diana DeGette Stafford, the representative from Denver's district, to help build a relationship between her and the Office of Public Witness, considering she goes to a local Presbyterian church, Montview Boulevard. But the most interesting thing that occurred while I was in D.C. was Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu delivering his address to the United States Congress. That morning, I took part in a prayer vigil with many other denominations, a prayer for peace and justice for all of those affected by the war in Israel. I got to hear from so many voices, Christians, Muslims, and an ex-Israeli soldier, all begging for a ceasefire. I saw so many of God's children working towards peace, and I found my personal calling. A peacemaker. I also had the privilege of learning so much about what it means to be Presbyterian. Some of it is the culture. There's stereotypes about Presbyterians being the frozen chosen, people who aren't very expressive during worship services. But there's much more than that. being the frozen chosen to me doesn't mean being frozen in all areas of life, but it means choosing to take action and following Jesus and serving others. Answering a call isn't always easy, however. Simon doubted Jesus, thinking that because he wasn't successful the last couple of tries, he wouldn't be this time either. And how do you know the right call? Sometimes you have to go out of your way to understand what your call is. I applied to be a part of the planning team for Triennium, a conference for over 4,000 Presbyterian youth across the country, before I could meet a communications manager for the Presbyterian Church, Emily Enders Odom, and I asked her if I could intern with her in the main Presbytery offices in Louisville, Kentucky. And then she was able to get me out to DC. So there isn't always an obvious path forwards. No modern day Messiah offering you his hand and asking you to drop everything. To answer the call, you have to do the hard thing. Trust in someone you've never seen or heard. Skepticism and doubt is necessary for a strong faith journey. But the reason I know God exists is I find the Creator in everything. I see God in everyone I meet, every fun memory, every smile, in the sunshine and in the rain. There must be someone out there who causes there to be so much to be grateful for. God has put you on the perfect path for you to be on, but you must listen to the call to follow. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And the disciples left everything to follow him. Don't be afraid. Jesus calls you to envelop others in your love. Please pray with me. Stop. Listen. Can you hear it? God is calling you. Probably not by words in your ears, or by writing in a letter, or by signs seen by your eyes. Instead, God calls you through the rhythm of your life, through the love of people who support you, through the opportunities to share grace that surround you. Stop. Listen. God's voice is calling you to love and serve. Amen.
Feel like acting in any sort of particular way, here is a way that you can respond. To have a community like Covenant, to have a community that worships together, that has an incredible choir, that houses a Covenant cover that feeds over 600 people a week, that houses Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, who partners with different churches, who works with the Village Resource Center, who helps fund those that they may not get evicted because rent costs are getting high. If you'd like to invest in that kind of community, you can do so now as we pass the plate. If you're a guest with us here today, feel no obligation to give. It's something we as members have decided to do. But if you'd like to invest in Covenant in this way, please do so now.
Thank you.
God, we want to thank you so much for this day and everything given us, Lord. Thank you for young voices of our church lifting out and calling to action, God. Thank you for the people of this community and ways in which they give, Lord. Not only of our money, but our time, our efforts. And God, we thank you for all those efforts. We thank you for the ways in which this community comes together. In your son's name, we pray. Amen. Would you all stand with me if you're able for the doxology? And we've got another one from Susan and Sharon for their friend Patricia, who Patricia finds herself seriously ill and failing in the ICU. Prayers for her family and friends, holding on to hope and recovery. As I lift these things up, would you all join me in that? Dear God, we want to thank you so much for when times feel hard and times feel like they're struggling, Lord, and our lives feel chaotic, God. It feels like we're going to the valley shadow of death, Lord. Thank you for helping us see and be able to get through the other side, God. Someone else going through that same situation is Patricia, Lord. She's seriously ill and in the ICU, God. We pray for your spirit of healing upon her and upon the doctors and nurses and everyone who attends to her, God. And Lord, we pray for her family and those of the people who know her, Lord. May they form in community. May they be there for each other in these difficult times, wherever the decision may fall. And Lord, as we go through hard times, what can help us get us through are the words of your Lord's Prayer, as we say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Stand with us for this final song.
God be the bridge to move my life.
great purpose in God's kingdom. Go and do what is yours to do in the love of Christ, our Redeemer. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.
Conversation started,
right. I'm sort of kind of like, well, maybe I should tone them down.
No, don't tone them down. I love them.